The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, 2nd Chapter, 50th Verse, recorded on May 20th, 1998 at Kishore Kishori Mandir, Chicago.
Them after spreading a net. He lived as if appointed by death personified as the killer of the birds. Put forth by His Divine Grace, this is another incident from the histories. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Tahana Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Pinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. There was once a hunter who lured birds with food and captured them after spreading a net. He lived as if appointed by death personified as the killer of the birds. In the great palace of Hiranyakashipu, this first to fall from their position and become demons within this material world. At birth, we find that Hiranyaksha, the younger brother, quite eager to please his older brother, satisfied with anything less all of the facilities, pain and fear. But ultimately the devatas, the demigods, they prayed to the Supreme Person from being plunged in the bottom of the Garbhagata Ocean. Then had a really exciting battle. Everyone who was observing in such an exciting spirit, who will win? People have this propensity. They want votes based on competition. The country of the world is like this. Literally, the most revered and popular people in entire nations. Because people have this propensity. They like to see people expert in a particular field competing and battling against each other. Of the inborn propensity of the soul to watch this type of competitive spirit of fighting between people who are very expert in the heart of Hiranyaksha. All he has to do is turn up to give pleasure to the devotees and give excitement to everyone. He performed this pastime of fighting. It was a terrible fight. Read Shukadev Goswami's mystic fusions to try to flee a battle. And meanwhile, the demigods and the sages, they were spectators. They were in the audience, watching. And who will win? And all the demons were watching too. Each one had their home team. The demons were saying, Hiranyakashipu, do it. Everyone was cheering for their particular team that they wanted to win. one was very much eager to experience this excitement. If they knew who was going to win, they would not all go. But there's that very much excitement. You are attached to a particular side and you don't know if they're going to win or lose and you want to watch it all happen to a place where you'll be frustrated and disturbed, mated, and not knowing what will happen. The demigods and the demons and the sages were all watching on their sides and they were all cheering on their hero. And Varahadeva, just to make it a very, very exciting for the spectators, he actually just let the fight go on for hours and hours and hours and hours. That to make all the demigods very much praying helplessly. Now this sport is much, much more relevant to what goes on in the stadiums and coliseums today. If your home team loses, it's not that the visiting team takes over the whole city and controls your life. They just go on to play another game somewhere else. But the stakes are high. Yaksha wins. He controls everybody's life in the universe along with his brother Hiranyakashipu. So these teams playing and crying. So very close to the sun to show how it was all just a game. Even though so much fighting, so much bloodshed, so much beating each other and making all sorts of... Ultimately, he just took his little hook, which is the hand of a boar, and he effortlessly behind his ear, and Hiranyaksha fell to the ground like a banana tree uprooted by a hurricane. And as he fell, Varahadeva, because he wanted to make sure everybody knows that this demon is finished, to annihilate all disturbances in their hearts, he stabbed Hiranyaksha with his tusk. After all, Varahadeva was part of their unit. This was a pastime. And very happy, but the demons were very sad because they loved him. Here we find Hiranyaksha's wife and mother are weeping and crying. How is this possible? Our son is dead. Our husband is gone. And Hiranyakashipu, the brother, wants to pacify them. First, he tells the demons that this rascal Vishnu, he has killed my father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is supposed to be neutral to everyone. He is not supposed to take any sides. But he has misused his independence. He has favored the demigods over the demons. And he has killed our brother. Therefore, he has lost his impartial position, and thus he must be punished. I vow that I will sever the head of Vishnu from his trunk, and with the profuse blood that flows from his dead body, I will satisfy my brother Hiranyaksha, who was so fond of drinking blood. If we kill Vishnu, then the demigods, they will not be able to survive, because Vishnu is like the root of the tree. If he is finished, the whole tree will finish. If you destroy the root, the tree must die. So Hiranyakashipu ordered his demon friends, or associates, you go down to the earth planets, and you destroy wherever there is Brahminical culture. Any place there is Brahmin studying the Vedas, any place there is performance of yajna, any place there is protection of cows, any place there is charity or any moral activities, burn that place down, torture and kill the participants of these nefarious activities. So his demon armies attacked the earth in so many ways and created total havoc. Meanwhile, Hiranyakashipu wanted to pacify the hearts of Hiranyaksha's grieving mother, wife and mother. So here he is speaking a very, very logical philosophy based on the Vedic scriptures. Hiranyakashipu was a great pundit. It is very, very thoroughly. But the problem is he had the wrong conclusion. He could quote so many instances, even philosophically, up to a certain level. He was a master. But unfortunately, the conclusion that he had was that all of this is meant for my own glorification and power. Similarly, today there are many religious people who know their scriptures very thoroughly as far as the different stories, the different philosophical principles. However, they do not understand what is the goal of all of this. They have to be very, very careful. Pilates, practically everything they say is identical to what we believe. Their conception of karma is the same. Their conception of the difference between the body and the soul is the same. Their philosophical principles of what this material world is very much the same up to a certain point. In fact, they will quote the same verses that we would quote to prove the same points. And some of them will speak in Srimad Bhagavatam and Ramayana. And you could sit there for 7 days, morning and evening, 3-4 hours, and all you hear is the same philosophy that we hear every day from Srila Prabhupada's books. It appears that way. Everything's the same. Even when they talk about bhakti. The difference is the conclusion. And sometimes the conclusion is not manifested at all. However, those conclusions are entering into our heart, whether we know it or not. Their conclusion is, through all this, we become God. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a temporary manifestation of the impersonal existence of the Supreme Brahman. And wonderful, wonderful pastimes just to attraction. And by chanting his holy names and hearing his glories and serving him, we can become so purified that we don't need him anymore. It's like you take a thorn out to take another thorn out, but then you don't keep the thorns. We use the example of using a thorn to take another thorn out. They use the same example, but a different idea. But now we're an illusion because we're attached to so many forms and so many personal exchanges in this material world. So therefore, the Lord so mercifully temporarily appears in a form so that we can use his name, his glories, his service, like a thorn, to take the thorn of our attachment to thorns out. But then after the thorn of our material attachments is removed from our body, then we throw both thorns away. We don't need them anymore. He'll serve, the deity has served his purpose, the name has served its purpose. The scriptures have served their purpose. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Ultimately, the Supreme Absolute Truth is Brahman and this entire existence, wherein anywhere there is form, variegatedness, personality, it is all an illusion. Because the Absolute Truth is impersonal. Conclusion. Not to be the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, but to serve temporarily so that you can become the Supreme Master. You can become God, the supreme absolute controller of everything that exists. Today, so many people are speaking from the scriptures, and they have so much philosophical expertise and mastery over the authority of the shastras, but the wrong conclusion. Similarly, in other great religions of the world, we find the same thing. People that in other religions, they need to explain people who are great, great authorities of their particular scripture, who are giving lectures in churches where even all the other priests and ministers are coming to hear his mastery over the Shastras. Professor, PhD, teaching so many other people about religious scriptures. Television, radio, when you talk to them, they always, this particular person, very much eager to convert other people to his faith. But after getting to know this particular person, this is years ago for some time, he explained to me he doesn't even believe in God. And he doesn't believe there's any historical relevance to the scriptures. So how you are teaching so many priests and so many ministers and so many servants, and you're preaching in so many big churches and so many people are coming to hear you and you don't even believe in God? He said, this is my profession. Everyone has to have their profession. Some people master over mathematics and they make a living by teaching mathematics. Other people, geography. So I have mastered over theology. So in this way, they know all the lines and all the slokas and all the stories, but they have whole different conclusions. This is very, very prevalent even today in society. So Hiranyakashipu was the very personification of this. He had a thorough understanding of at least the external perception of the Vedas. Basis of Vedic scripture, he performed so much tapasya to get power. He worshipped Brahma because he knew what Brahma could give him, and he did everything according to the authorized process of worshipping Lord Brahma. And here he is explaining to his grieving mother and sister-in-law the philosophy how you're not this body, and how you should not grieve for either the living or the dead. And everything he's saying, we could quote Hiranyakashipu in our lectures, and it will be perfectly aligned with our philosophy. In fact, sometimes we do. We quote these passages, and people think, oh, that's a wonderful story. Hear that from Hiranyakashipu. People are very surprised. And people think, oh, you are quoting Sukadeva Goswami. I am quoting Hiranyakashipu. With this story, he is explaining to his relatives that there is no need to lament over what is done, and there's nothing you can do about it. Hiranyaksha is dead. There's nothing that can change that. However, you can understand that there's really no such thing as death, because the person we love is the eternal soul. The soul cannot be killed by any means. It is only its temporary body that can be, at a certain point, unfit for the inhabitants of the soul. And then the soul leaves that body. That's not death. That's just moving from one place to another. But the living force remains alive eternally. Then he told an ancient historical narration. He said, one time, there was a king, his name was Suyagya. And he was very, very much loved by his citizens. However, he went into battle to fight, and in that battle, he was defeated. Just at the moment of death, to show his prowess to everyone around, how he never gave up the fight. He bit his lips with his teeth, like this, just to show that I didn't give up fighting, even to death. Even at the time of death, he was thinking about his image, what people would think about him. What does he care what people think about him? He may take birth to the enemy side, where everyone hates him. We have no connection to our previous lives, but still we want our legend to be known. People want to leave behind the great legend. Yes, before he died, he has done like this. We are proud of him. His relatives keep picture on the wall, and the countrymen keep the picture on the wall, and they put him in the history books, and they praise him. But usually what happens in Kali Yuga is even all these great persons who in life want to be praised, want to control, and the only thing they have left when they see that death is coming is that their fame will live on. But then their fame lives on for some time, but then people scratch beneath the surface and they see that they were actually scandalous, immoral rascals. And then that starts coming out. They gave their life for fame is finished. People think, yes, he did good like this, but what about this? And today, of all famous people who have died, how many are not all the scandals of their private life are brought to the attention, even more than what they have done? That's how Maya cheats us. We give our life for something, and then we get something the opposite. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, anytime you strive for material enjoyment on any level in this material world, definitely 100% in the end you'll get just the opposite of what you wanted. This is the law of nature. We might as well just accept it and give up our hopes, our false hopes. If we would just have faith in this one word, our whole life would change. This is God speaking. This is the authorities of the Shastra who created this material world speaking. Lord Brahma spoke this verse. That anything, he's the creator of the universe, he knows what's happening in this universe, how it operates. Brahma said, anything that you aspire to achieve in this material world for your own personal enjoyment or the enjoyment of others, you will definitely, by the laws of nature, get just the opposite result. So I try. If we know we're going to get the opposite. If someone tells you to work all day and give your money to someone who's going to steal it all away, will you do that? Yes, you do it every day. You do it every for your whole life, birth after birth after birth. You're working for Maya and she just takes everything away. I'm here. King Suyajna, he fought so hard to be a great hero, but he died. He could not succeed. Ultimately, time defeats everyone. His queens, they were very much brokenhearted. They gathered around his body, embracing him and touching him and weeping, crying. They could not be consoled. They were thinking, our husband is dead. Now what will happen to us? What will happen to our children? What will happen to the kingdom? Who will protect us? They were beating their chests with their fists and weeping, crying, uncontrollable. It was time for the funeral. But they would not allow the body to be taken away. They were so attached to this dead corpse because they saw it as him, their protector, their beloved. Now, according to the Vedic system, Srila Prabhupada explains, if a body dies during the daylight, the funeral must take place before the sun sets. Otherwise, it is not considered proper. And if the body dies at night, the funeral must be conducted before the next sunrise. This is the principle. So they wanted to burn the body according to the proper religious codes. But the wives, they would not let go of that corpse. No, no, he is our husband. We cannot let him go. Now Yamaraj, he's a great Mahaja. But actually he's very compassionate, loving Vaishnava. Yamaraj, Prabhupada said, has a thankless task. It's the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the disciplic succession. What he must do. Lord Brahma has created Yamaraj and told him on behalf of Krishna, just like your temple president may tell you on behalf of Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, you must do this service. And it may be something you do not like to do. Sometimes we say, but it is not my nature. Do you think it is the nature of a compassionate, loving Vaishnava who's only interested in everyone going back to Godhead and being happy to spend day and night just punishing wicked people and hearing them screaming and associating with Yamadutas all day? The greatest personality. Someone has to punish the wicked people for their bad karma in the universe. Someone has to take that responsibility. And it was entrusted to the most gentle, compassionate, loving devotee to do it. Read in the fifth canto, just a little hint of what the Yamadutas do to sinful people. People are screaming and crying and weeping so much pain in the forms of a man or a woman. Hey, yet they do not die. If we were to experience such pain, we would die in seconds. But in the planets that Yamaraj gives his atonements, you do not die, you only suffer. Birds look at you, so cruel and mean, and they're just looking, and then they come and pluck your eyes out with their claws and their beaks, causing you so much pain. Then your eyes come back in, and you look, and they're looking at you again, and you know it's just a matter of time till they come. And they do this for thousands of years, just constantly plucking out your eyeballs. The hellish planets where they take you to the top of a tree with all these razor-sharp thorns, and they tie you around the trunk of the tree, then they pull you down, and your body is ripped into thousands of pieces, and you live through it all. You don't die. Now we get a little cut in our finger, and we're thinking, oh, how will I survive? How can I do my service? Ripped into shreds, and you live through it all. And then they put your body up together, and they bring you to the top of the tree and rip you down again and again and again and again. People are howling and screaming in misery. And yet Yamaraj, he has to see all these things. He has to make the judgment of what the punishment is. But yet, in his heart of hearts, he simply wants everyone to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. He's a very compassionate, loving person. Someone has to do this service to the Lord. And he has been chosen, I will do the service. This is one of our own tastes, but concerned with what pleases Krishna. But the Lord, in order to give some nice retreat for Yamaraj, he had him cursed by Manduka Muni so that Yamaraj could be Vidura and just be a preacher in this world. Hare Krishna. The personal associate of Lord Krishna. Yamaraj wanted to show his mercy to these queens who were so much attached to their husband's dead body. They could not live without him. So he appeared. But he appeared in a very, very wonderful form of a small child. Because he knew that these people, they are so much attached to the material conceptions of life. They don't want to hear philosophy now. Sometimes when something really goes wrong and your godbrother or godsister or senior Vaishnava comes, you just, don't tell philosophy to me now. I don't want to hear philosophy. He appeared as a small boy. Because when a small child speaks philosophy, everyone listens. Because it's such a sweet thing to see. How does this little child know so much nice philosophy? We have seen day a month we have a children's program where children conduct the entire program. They lead the kirtans, they perform dramas, produce dramas, write the script for dramas, they do puppet shows. For about 20 minutes in a very graphic and very accurate way the pastime of Narasimhadeva protecting Prahlad and killing Hiranyakashipu. The people of the audience, there was probably about 600-700 people in the audience. It was such an ovation. People were just cheering and clapping their hands and saying, Haribo, Haribo! That was Saturday night. Sunday was Nrsimha Chaturdasi. The next night I gave the lecture. I told essentially the same story. No one was crying. In fact, they were sleeping. When the child told the story, 5-year-old child, no one was sleeping. Everyone was at the edge of their seats to see, will he get the next line properly? Will he tell the story nicely? He told it so perfectly. Interesting, but I told it just as well, from the academic point of view. I may not have as much bhakti as him, but I told the story. But everybody's expecting, Swamiji's going to tell the story. They come, they know Swamiji's going to tell the story of Nrsimhadeva. We've already heard it so many times. We've heard him tell it so many times. We've heard so many other people tell it so many times. I've personally told it so many times to so many people. But still, it is proper for us to go to celebrate. So people I was speaking with, many were sleeping. Hare Krishna. Others, when I finished, there was no applause. When I was finished, the happiness was, let us break the fast, you need prasad. Finally, the lecture is over. And then his little child told the same words. There was cheering and howling and crying and everything. Why? Because he's a child. When he grows up, no one will do that for him. Because it is natural. When a small child speaks nice philosophy, it's very, very sweet, charming experience to the heart. People are eager to hear. Even people who never come to our temple come to the children's program because they want to hear children. In this way, Yamaraj understood the psychology that these ladies, they are not transcendentalists. So better I appear in the form of a child, then they will listen to everything I say. So little boy Yamaraj began to see them, and he started explaining such nice philosophy. Why are you crying? You are thinking, like, who will protect me? But you are a grown woman. I'm a little tiny child. And yet I'm protected. I'm living in the forest. I have no parents. I have no brothers or sisters. Nobody but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is protecting and providing for me. Why you don't have faith? Everything is happening by our destiny, not by our own arrangement. It's always been dead. The life force still lives. Why are you weeping? If you think your husband is your body, is his body, then why are you weeping? The body is still here. It's with you. You should be happy. And if he's not his body, if he's the soul, then why are you lamenting? The soul never dies. So in either case, you should understand there's nothing to fear. If he is his body, he's still with you, nothing to cry. If he's not his body, then he's still living somewhere else, there's nothing to cry. Why are you wasting your time in this way? Sometimes, what is relationships in this material world? Yamaraj explained that sometimes people, they're traveling, and they go to a certain, different travelers meet at a certain place to drink some water, or to get some food. And they meet each other and they talk for some time, and then after finishing drinking the water, they go on with their journey. So similarly, the soul is traveling through so many lifetimes, taking on so many forms. And sometimes we meet in our journey with others, and we call them our family members. But then we have to move on in our journeys according to our karmic destinies. So why should we lament over that? It is inevitable. Then he wanted to tell this story. Yamaraj, in his form of a little child, He captured their attention. They were listening to him so carefully. How this little boy is speaking so much nice philosophy. How could we not listen? He told the story of King Suyajna. I'm sorry, he called the story of the Kulinga birds. In this story, he talks about how there was a family of birds. There was husband and wife and children. Now, the hunter, who was appointed by death personified as the killer of birds, made out his net to trap the Kulinga birds. His wife, somehow or other, she got trapped in the net. Now the net, the thing that is very special about nets is you do not see it until you're trapped. That is the special strategy of using a net. You do not see it. But you wouldn't fall in it. Correct? In the sea, recently we were in Jagannath Puri and we saw fishermen with their nets. They just take the net and make it go pushing. The fish saw a net was coming, they would swim the other way. But they do not see it, because that's the way nets are. They look like they don't even exist until you're trapped in it. So that is the way Maya traps all of us. She has her nets everywhere. And we are very much not suspecting anything to happen. And we are trapped. And once you're in the net, you cannot get out. Very difficult. The only way to get out of the net of Maya is... They are making so many networks. What is that? It's all the work of the net of Maya. It's such a net that we're actually thinking it's very nice. We do not know that we will be trapped in it. So, this net was put out, and the little wife of Mr. Kulinga Bird got trapped in the net. The woman saw his wife helplessly, hopelessly trapped, and he understood there's nothing I can do to save her. She's in the net. He began to lament and cry like anything. My wife has half of my body. What is the use of me living with only half of a body? I should also die. How cruel is Providence? What about all the children? Our little tiny Kulinga birds who speak in broken, chirping languages. What will happen to them? Who will take care of them? Who will feed them? Who will raise them? I cannot do it. They need my wife. Oh, what will be of me? And what will be of my children? Who will help us? Who will protect us? He was lamenting in this way, and as he was lamenting, the personification of his destiny in the form of the hunter heard his crying. The body of the male Kulinga bird who fell in the net, dead. And then the Yamaraj is saying, why are you uselessly lamenting over what you cannot change? You can cry and weep over the death of your husband for hundreds and hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes, but all your weeping and crying will never bring him back to life. But human life is meant for a higher purpose. Human life is meant for self-realization. Why are you wasting your time lamenting over the material elements? Do not waste time. Tolerate these difficulties. And the sweet words of Yamaraj, who was a small child, the ladies of the palace, who were his queens, their hearts completely changed. They understood, yes. Out the path of higher consciousness. We should not simply waste this valuable human life lamenting while the hunter of time is ready to take us away. So let his body go through the funeral process. And there is my story. Hiranyakashipu told his relatives that why are you weeping over Hiranyaksha's death? He's not dead. He's eternal. He is the soul. Just go on with our life. And then Diti, and I believe her name is something like Ratu Bahu, the wife of Hiranyaksha, much enlightened by Hiranyakashipu's katha. And they gave up all of their lamentation and they began to focus their mind on philosophical truths rather than lamentation of the inevitable destruction of the material body. And in this way, Hiranyakashipu showed how he could convert people's hearts from distress to peacefulness by his mastery over the Vedic philosophy. But then after he pacified them, what did he do? He began to perform tapasya just according to the scriptural injunctions so that he could kill Vishnu and enjoy sense gratification with no end. He wanted to enjoy eternal sense gratification to his full capacity. Hare Krishna. So what is the use of his Vedic knowledge? Actually, Srila Prabhupada often said that a snake is dangerous, but when the snake has a beautiful jewel on its head, it's even more dangerous because it's attractive. When you see the beautiful flashing jewel on the head of a serpent, you think, oh, such a beautiful serpent, let me hold him in my hand. Actually, those who take the wisdom of God but misuse it for an ungodly purpose, they are most dangerous because they are attractive. They gain our faith. Although the religion of Maya appears to be a representative of God, they are the most dangerous people. Srila Prabhupada gives an example. That an ape, actually their bodies are very cool in the heat of the summer. When you see the body of a snake, it appears very, very cool and refreshing. Because snakes' bodies never get hot. They are cold-blooded. They're very smooth. And sometimes in the summer, when you see such a big, big serpentine body, you want to put it around your neck like a garland, just to refresh you and cool you. However, the snake bites and has poison. This gratification is like that snake. Oh, it appears to be something that will give us so much relief and so much pleasure. In every way, we have to understand, still, there's teeth and venom. In all of the articles for selfish material enjoyment that are not connected to the service of Krishna, they may appear to give us so much pleasure and relief from the heat of material miseries, but beyond it all, there is the teeth and the poison. Kashyapu, he spoke such nice philosophy. We can quote him. No doubt, he was a very, very good scholar. And he could perform so much tapasya. He had tremendous amount of power to control his mind and senses, but only for the purpose of getting more enjoyment for his mind and senses. Very difficult to understand these things. Sometimes we see people performing so much tapasya. My guru, he has not eaten anything in 28 years. He doesn't sleep. He lives in the heat of the sun, without shade, even in the summer. And we are thinking, oh, so much self-control. Ultimately, if they want to become God, they are controlling their senses temporarily only so that they can have more sense gratification, the best sense gratification. Hiranyakashipu stood on the tips of his toes with his hands raised for tens and thousands of our earthly years. He didn't eat. He didn't even breathe. Can you do that? Not eat for tens of thousands of years standing on, how long can you stand on your tiptoes without moving, with your arms raised up? 1 hour, 2 hours? And you start aching, and your arms start aching, and you start feeling hungry, and you start feeling tired, and it's hot outside. For so long that an anthill was built around his body, and the ants and the worms started eating away his flesh. When we're chanting japa, a little mosquito comes, we have to move our hands to get that mosquito away. Even though he felt these insects and worms eating his flesh away, drinking his blood, he did not let his arms move down for a second. He just tolerated it. Until he had no more flesh and he had no more blood or fat or anything. There was no more muscles left. It was just a skeleton. But he was so powerful he could keep his life air moving through his bones. What kind of sense control is this? We have a hard time just fasting on a katsu. Let's just speak of Jaimastami. Some of you are probably fearing that Jaimastami is only a few months away and I have to fast till midnight. How are you? I can't wait till it's over. The whole purpose of all of this Tapasyan self-control was not pure unalloyed devotion. It was that by doing this, then I will get so much more sense gratification. It's worth the price. Enough to get more. Hare Krishna. He was a yogi, he was a scholar, he was a tapasi. Ravana was another incarnation of Hiranyakashipu. And Hanuman was secretly looking through the city of Sri Lanka to see what is this that my Lord Ram is going to have to fight against. He went to Porturan and he disguised himself and at night a huge bed made out of person. Curious. Bodhis would be running to his association. But everyone was running away from him. So Hiranyakashipu had so many good qualities. But because they were ultimately aimed at his own selfish sense of gratification, they were all condemned. Everything. The pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of God had all the good qualities of the demigods, the sages, the rishis, and God himself manifest through the life of a pure Vaishnava. But if a person is not a devotee engaged in the service of the Lord, that person, although may appear to have so many qualities, he really has no good qualities at all. Because they are wrongly directed. This wonderful narration, you should understand very clearly how out of the veins the devotee never takes credit for anything. When Hiranyakashipu, he was thinking, I am the controller, I am the king, I have so many powers, look what I have done, look at what I am doing, and look at what I will do. But Prahlad Maharaj exhibited greater powers than him, because he could not destroy Prahlad. He asked Prahlad, what is this power you have? Where do you get it? Prahlad said, it is not my power. It is Krishna's power. Whatever power I have is not mine, it's Krishna's. And my dear father, best of the demon, whatever power you have is not yours, it belongs to Krishna. The devotee never takes credit for anything. He wants to give all credit to the Lord. And he wants to serve the Lord. Like we take water from Ganga empties of water. How much water we're able to offer, according to our capacity, we could take a certain amount of water. But whether it's a handful or whether it's a million gallons, it's not ours. We're taking it from Ganga and giving it back to Ganga. We may be very great scholars, we may be great preachers, we may be good singers, we may be great book distributors, we may be very, very expert at management. Many powers, if we offer it to Krishna, then it is being properly utilized. But we must always know that whatever I'm giving to Krishna, I'm getting from Krishna. It's not mine. The only thing that is mine is the right to serve. Everything is, they want to take the water from the Ganga and bring it somewhere else. They don't want to bring it, give it back to Ganga. They want to take it to another place to enjoy it. All circumstances. We must always remember that Krishna is the Supreme. Well, the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. We should never give up this consciousness. We should always be eager to serve the Lord, to please the Lord, to glorify Him. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And learn these wonderful. They said you can take gold even from a filthy place. Hiranyakashipu was certainly a filthy person. His heart was a filthy place. But this story of the Kulinga birds is a very golden lesson of how we should understand what is matter and what is spiritual. And we should use that understanding in the devotional service of the Lord. Thank you very much. Puri from Hiranyakashipu. Deep and rich and full of variegatedness. Yes, Shankaranji stopped you. Sukadeva is chastised him very severely. You are not qualified to speak on Bhagavatam. You have no authority to speak on Bhagavatam. Every word of Bhagavatam only discusses pure bhakti, and you are not even discussing Bhagavatam. That I cannot say, because in our shastras it doesn't. When Devananda Pandit nicely served Bhakrishwar Pandit.
Interesting question.
Dr. Radha has asked. Continuing to read Bhagavatam every day and by attentively chanting Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And by serving the great person Bhagavatam, by this process of the day, Bhagavatam says when Krishna left this earth, he descended in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. As you approach Bhagavatam, Krishna reveals himself through the Bhagavatam accordingly. He is in the form of the Bhagavatam will reveal each syllable to you in its true eternal spiritual glory.